And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Earlier this summer, Ireland legalized gay marriage. It's shocking to many people because, of course, Ireland is thought of as the great land of saints and scholars. Catholic Ireland, you think of Catholicism and Ireland together. So a lot of people want to know why. What happened there? Of course, the gay rights movement saw it as one of their great victories. And I've asked a friend of mine, who's been a correspondent for us and for others in Ireland, Gareth Peoples, to join us as he's here in the United States. And I asked Gareth to join me so we could talk about this face-to-face. You were there for the vote?
Yes, I was.
And you were there for the run-up to the vote, too. I mean,
oh, yeah, I lived there, and I watched the vote,
Many people in the United States weren't necessarily following it very closely. But when the news came out, and it seemed to be such a strong vote, people were shocked. Catholics in particular were shocked. And they wanted to know why this could happen. And with a point, something so fundamental about human life and existence, male and female, marriage, it doesn't take a genius to see that men and women are made for each other, and that other attempts for men and men to do what men and women do is messy and doesn't really do what nature designed it to do.
Yeah.
And we should have been a lot more explicit about this when we've discussed it in the past, but we weren't. We were rather dainty. Okay. Where were the bishops on this? Well, first of all, what was the vote? What was the margin?
About 62.5%.
That's a big vote.
Percentage, yes. 37.5% voted no.
So, again, 2-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost 2/3 to 1/3.
Was it a big vote? A lot of people show
60, up for this? 64% or something.
Of the population.
Yeah. It was
that's considered a good, a big
participation.
Yeah, it is.
It was pretty...
Okay. So it wasn't a vote that was a small vote, which could be governed by radicals. Where were the bishops on this?
The bishops, if you want me to be very frank and honest, I think were quite weak on this.
Well, at least be honest. So.
Yes. I think that they... I didn't hear a lot of statements come out. I heard some statements from Archbishop Martin where he initially said that he would vote against this, but advised people to vote on their own conscience. And there wasn't... So people were getting a very a weak message.
So the impression... I want to make sure I get this straight. You're saying the general impression was that when the bishop spoke, they may have opposed this, but they didn't oppose it strongly enough to insist that Catholics should oppose it? They were free to vote their conscience? Wow.
The way they worded it left a lot of room for some bishops anyway. They left a lot of room for confusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, if you're not clear on a crisis, you're gonna cause a lot of damage, a lot of confusion. You need in a crisis, you have to have clarity. So if there wasn't clarity, then there was incompetence. What of who were those who supported the church's teaching in a robust way? Did you have any political parties?
None.
So you had no. You're saying the bishops were unclear, at least in terms of the vote. The political parties were all against the church's teaching.
There's five main political parties in Ireland. Every one of them, there's actually more, but there's five main ones. Every one of them stood out and supported same-sex marriage. Every single one. There might have been some individual members of some of them that maybe didn't campaign as loudly as others. But every political party went for this, as did the police service of Ireland came out and told people, their members, to vote for this, as did many other, the teachers, the National Teachers Union of Ireland, which was all Catholic teachers, came out and told their members to vote for this.
Wow. So you've got unclear leadership. You have no support with any of the major political parties. Who resisted then?
You had resistance from individual priests and some very brave lay people. There was a group called Mothers and Fathers Matter, And there was a guy called David Quinn from the Iona Institute.
Yes, I know the name.
And he's a very public figure, and they did it on their own. And they raised the right questions about surrogacy, about, you know, the nature of marriage, against a tidal wave of opposition.
Now, how were the David Quinn and his supporters treated? Were they treated as men and women of goodwill who had moral objections to homoerotic behavior, or were they treated as irrational bigots?
I would say, you can't say across the board, do you understand? But I would say a lot of people did treat them as irrational bigots, a far cry to a bygone era that we want to get rid of. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're in the past with an old medieval superstitious religion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you had, I assume that the media, you had no support in the media.
Very limited.
Okay.
Very, very limited. I would say the 5-1. 5-1.
So in a society there where you've got lack of clarity in teaching, the teaching authority is unclear, where you've got no political parties in support, where those who resist the same-sex so-called marriage are considered irrational bigots, where it looks like laity had to form its own resistance.
Yes.
It's not hard then to see. And when you've got the media not giving a fair shake to the other side, I'm assuming that's the case from what you said.
Yes, it was.
Then it's not surprising that the vote would go this way, except that these were supposed to be Catholics.
Yes.
And so that even if you had no political support, even if you had for a brief period of time lack of clarity on the part of the bishops, everybody knows the catechism is not unclear about this, even if you had media on the other side, you should have still had the strong spine of Catholic catechesis, people who are formed through the sacraments and through teaching to be followers of Jesus Christ. But what we find here is that whatever disciple-making tools were used over the years, whatever was supposed to have been accomplished through the sacraments apparently wasn't, and the Catholic Church in Ireland just folded.
Yes. Ireland had the perfect position. You had a constitution that was Catholic, the most Catholic constitution.
So you have a Catholic constitution?
Yes.
Okay.
You have Catholic education, which is free for 14 years. So in theory, and you have a population at one time that was 96% Catholic. So in theory, you got it made in terms of people coming out. But what you had in Ireland, which was the same, I suppose, in America and other places, you had people coming out in the 60s and 70s teaching a lot of things that were against church teaching.
Right.
I spoke to a bishop a few years ago who told me he disagreed with Humanae Vitae.
Mm-hmm.
And basically told his priests to ignore this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school in the 1980s, I had a religious education teacher telling me that Mary was not a virgin and contradicted a lot of church teaching. Now, I had a background with my family, you understand, that made me stronger.
Sure.
That was 1988. This was unchecked.
Yeah.
Maynooth, the major seminary in Ireland, has had huge problems with bad teaching for maybe 30 years or more.
Okay. And you also had the sex abuse crisis, which ruined the moral authority of the clergy.
Yeah, you had this going on, and then in the early 90s, all the child abuse came out, and how the terrible handling of this, which basically shook even the most devout Catholics to the core, and took away the church moral authority, because people felt so let down by how badly, and it's been going on. I did a piece for you 5 years ago where they just did another report. That was 20 years of this going on. Just undermined the whole authority of the church. So you had the undermine of the child abuse. You had the bad catechesis going on and not being checked. That teacher, that religious education teacher, taught in that school for almost 30 years, unchecked.
So instead of disciplining those who are... there's a reluctance to discipline those in authority, that is, those who teach, those who administer, those who govern. There's an unwillingness to discipline them. That leaves corrupt teaching to flourish underneath the catechism.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Catechism can be clear as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got people in place who undermine it, in this case, Blessed Mother's did not conceive as a virgin. You've got the church's teaching on life and artificial contraception is wrong. You've got the clergy whose abuse undermines the moral authority of the church. All of those things just sweep away by a vote of 2-1 Catholic teaching on one of the most fundamental human institutions out there. What could have changed that?
I think what happened in Ireland, the church had full power. And I think when you've got full power, every mother in Ireland at one point wanted its son to be a priest. Do you understand?
Yeah, sure.
So I think there was a lot of people who became priests that perhaps shouldn't have been priests, not just those that abused children, but other people. And I think, honestly, in the Republic, there was definitely, not right across, but I think there was a degree, we've got the power, let's keep the power. There was also a degree within the church of complacency. You know, we have this population. We don't need to evangelize. When you go to Mass, when I used to go to Mass as a child, Sunday Mass took 40 minutes. Weekday Masses took 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Yeah, 5-10 minutes. You thought the British were going to come and arrest them. So you have then, why I'm saying that to you, Al, is that you didn't have this fullness of faith that when I went to Steubenville, you suddenly seen a fullness of faith that I didn't see growing up.
Yeah.
I did see it through I did see it in some things, but through my mother, who was very, very faithful.
Sure.
But if I was just going to my regular parish, I wouldn't have noticed it.
Yeah. Well, this is, again, we've tried to bring this here. Build a church and you can bless the nation. But if you try to bless the nation without building the church, you're not going to do either. You won't bless the church and you won't bless the nation and you will not build the church. Making disciples is the one indispensable element. Jesus left a threefold commission, which was to preach, teach, and baptize in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. That has to be done. If that fundamental activity is not done well, you cannot stand persecution, you can't stand harassment, you can't stand the pressure of the world to conform. And this situation in Ireland is so just tragic. Got about 30 seconds. What happens next?
There is some hope. There is people working very, very hard. Nick Healy and people are bringing in a Newman College to try and within Ireland. They need some funds, but they're starting it off. We have a young priest in my parish who is working very hard with the youth. So there is hope.
Stay in touch. Let me know, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Al.
Okay. Thanks, Gareth.
Sure.
Gareth Peoples, correspondent of ours in Ireland, here in the United States.